attitudes and strongholds to remain intact, they are progressively more difficult to lose, and consequently, they cause more and more damage. Solomon paints a beautiful picture of the journey of life through childhood to maturity to old age to death. To those beginning the journey, his message is quite simple. Rejoice in the beauty, energy, and strength of youth, for it passes quickly. Remove sorrow from your heart, for this is a time of joy and promise. And remember God, your Creator, for when the difficult days come, you will need Him. You pass this way only once to live every moment fully and live it with Him. And that phrase, pass this way only once, most of us baby boomers will remember the song from 1973 by Seals and Croft by that title.
Thank you.
You knew it, but you couldn't think of it. There have been several songs and poems written with that phrase, but most of us remember the Seals and Croft version. Any questions or comments about opening comments? Who would read verses 1 through 8 for us? Chapter 12, 1 through 8.
I will.
Okay, David.
Remember your Creator in those days of your youth. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed, and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless.
Okay, thanks, David. Does anyone have a version where in verse 5 we have the word caperberry? What version you have? Okay. And a New American will have it, and the New Living Translation will have it. But NIV, ESV, and King James does not have it.
What does that bear?
It reads in New American Standard, verse 5, furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is inefficient. So, what is a caperberry? Anyone know what a caperberry is? Mr. Farmer David Bailey, do you know what a caperberry is?
I know what capers are.
All right. It's not in the caper, but it is in the same family, but with less acid. So,
considering how the NIV translates it, it must be an aphrodisiac.
Yeah, yeah.
Desire, yeah.
Yeah, as a desire. So, anyway. All right. So, what advice does the preacher give to the young person in verse 1? What advice does he give the young person in verse 1?
Focus on God while you're young.
All right. Why? Why is that important?
If you don't know about him when you're young, you're going to need him when you get older.
Okay. So what does the word remember mean here? Okay.
Yeah, it means more than just two
thoughts.
Yeah, there's more thought to it than that.
Oh yeah, I know God is.
Yeah, Chuck Swindoll says the Hebrew word remember in verse 1 means to act decisively on behalf of someone. He says to remember your Creator when you're young means that we realize He is the one essential ingredient we need for a truly happy lifestyle. That's from Chuck Swindoll. So,
it's a very intentional remembering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pay attention.
Right. Not just remember him as a being or a spirit, but yeah. So how does chapter 11, verse 9 relate to chapter 12, verse 1? Someone flip over to 11:9 and read that for us.
You are young, be happy while you're young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment.
Okay, so how does that compare to verse 1 of chapter 12?
I think he recognizes that youth are apt to play, and occasionally their decisions are folly.
Okay.
Even though he recognizes it, that doesn't mean that's 100% of youth.
Right.
Because he cautions the youth in 12 to, although you are full of joy and full of play, recognize, set up a memorial, know well enough your Creator because you will need him.
Right.
Serves as a contrast.
In what way?
From the youth, you play in your youth, well, but keep this in mind.
Yeah, because 11 verse 9, we talked about a couple weeks or last week. Follow your impulses of your heart and the evil desires of your eyes, how New American Standard says it. So we kind of talked about that, yeah, you can go out and enjoy things and situations, but remember, and we like to use the phrase that your sins will find you out. So just be careful what you do, how you do it, where you do it, when you do it. Jared?
Well, you're talking youthful, lust of the flesh type of deal with the eyes.
Right. Yeah.
Because you don't have any lust of the eyes as you get old because you're blind.
Margaret?
Well, unfortunately, everything we did as a youth, even before being baptized, we thought, that's okay, that's okay. And then you get baptized, you think, oh, everything's forgiven. But you never forget those things you did.
Yeah.
And you wish you hadn't done them.
Are you speaking from experience?
We all are.
Might
be. They're always in your memory.
What's the illustration? You drive a nail into a board, and you take the nail out, but the hole's still there. So I guess you could put some putty or something on it, couldn't you? Cover it up.
There'd still be a scar.
Still be something there.
And
yeah.
Even if you paint it over, it takes a real skilled person to completely remove
yeah.
that scar.
Yeah. Any other comments?
Roger could do it. Cat is definitely. I've seen his work.
All right, number 3. What 13 illustrations are used to depict one growing old and feeble in verses 3 through 5. And actually, if you look at verse 2, there are 2 or 3 more. Depends on your translation. So what are some of the examples or illustrations he's using here?
Eyes, cataracts, depression, hands, legs, teeth, cataract, eyes again, loss of hearing, and you can't sleep.
That's pretty good. That's about half of them. Yeah.
Hey, I don't find that. Which verse was that in?
3 through 5. I actually start at 2. Oh, okay. Yeah, your translation may word it differently, and it's harder to pick out. Your arms weaken, legs become frail, teeth fall out, eyes lose their sight, ears become hard of hearing, mouth and speech become intelligible, elderly easily awaken. Who's having more trouble sleeping all night? The voice no longer able to sing, afraid of height, fear of falling. Usually when we get older, we worry about falling, tripping over stuff. Or even when we're young, don't we, David? Tears in the way, no longer feeling invincible. The almond tree blossoms, the wakefulness of old age setting in.
Well, almond tree blossoms is also a white blossom. And so that's also an indication that your hair not only turns white, but it might turn loose.
Is there anything wrong with white Is there anything wrong with having white hair as you age?
No.
Someone turn to Proverbs 16, verse 31. Proverbs 16, verse 20, 31. 16, 31. Someone else turn to Proverbs 20, 29. Proverbs 20, 29.
This is Rogers.
Does anyone have Proverbs 16, 31 yet?
No.
Okay. Rob?
Gray hair is a crown of splendor and is attained in the way of righteousness.
Okay, that's NIV. Proverbs 20, 29. Anyone have that?
The glory of young men is their strength. Gray hair, the splendor of the old.
All right.
Thank you for that.
Make you feel better, Larry? So those of us who are not gray-headed yet, I don't know what that says for us. Jim? Oh, it's coming.
We missed one thing.
What's that?
Watching the weight.
He didn't mention weight.
I know.
He didn't mention weight. He didn't use that one. I don't know why.
Part of the clouds return after the rain also has reference to you have to go to bathroom all the time.
I don't know about that. The Amplified says that that has to do with tears. In verse 2 talks about, and this is Amplified, the sun and the light and moon and the stars are darkened, which means our eyesight goes start going. The clouds is depression and the rain is tears. That's verse 2 using the Amplified. So
my tears.
I don't know. That's just what Amplified said.
I like hers better.
Any comments or questions about any of those illustrations? My dad was completely still black-headed for the most part until he got 80 years old. And then we went on chemo, then his hair started turning gray. So, and he had a full head of hair, too, when he died. So, I'm sorry, Shane.
Well, I was just going to say, I think, to me, there's some added poignancy here for Solomon, right?
Yeah.
Because Solomon is this person who was granted these great gifts from God. He's given the wisdom, he's given wealth, he's given power, and he's had all these things granted to him by God. You know, we remember the story about God comes to Solomon, you know, what is it you want? He wants, I want wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, God says, well, I'll give you wisdom and all this other stuff. And so Solomon's been put in this position where he's been given more than anybody else. And now he's lived life in this position where he's been blessed by God to have all this more than everybody else. He's built all these things. He's done all these great things. And now he's getting to the end. And you know, here we see Solomon, and he's seeing this, right? Even Solomon, in his greatness, gets old,
mm-hmm.
loses his eyesight, loses his hearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sure, like a lot of us, yeah. I mean, one of the sad things in life that I find is it almost seems like I know as many people who are dead as are alive.
Yeah.
And I think he's getting to that point, and there's a poignancy here where he's like, I was granted all these great things by God, but yet it still all comes to an end. I still have to face death. I still have to face old age. All these things pass away.
Yeah.
It's all, as he says, meaningless, because he's getting to the end of life and realizing whether he's wise or he's not wise, it all comes to the same end. And when I read this particular section, I can almost feel the poignancy in his voice. Like,
yeah.
Like all this has happened. All these things have been achieved. All this has been done. And yet, here comes the grave. And I'm wise, I'm rich, I'm powerful, but yet it's meaningless. Because I've got gray hair, I can't hear, I can't see, and pretty soon I'm going to be in the ground.
Yeah.
And it's almost... To me, I can almost feel the anguish, and his voice as he says these things.
Yeah, good point, Shane. Oh, by the way, you are going to be zooming into class after you move, right? Anybody else have comment, question? John?
Just a little personal observation. 60 years ago, I was in Scouts, and as part of one of our, things we ordered the year or whatever, I had to memorize this chapter. I wish I could tell you I could still read it, but I can't. But I had trouble with this part because none of that was going to happen
to
me.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to get gray hair and all that stuff and have these aches. I understand it a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. Anybody else?
I was just thinking that there's only so many pills that you can take.
Yeah.
or herbs and natural.
Exactly. Yeah. They're good up to a point, but they don't give you a fountain of youth type effect, do they? So how is death depicted at the end of verse 5? Shane actually alluded to part of it. How's death depicted?
Go to your eternal home.
Okay, and where do the mourners go?
Going about the streets.
They just doing their thing. Yep. So what four illustration or objects are used to depict the decaying of the body in verse 6? He lists four illustrations or four objects.
Silver
cord is loosed or severed.
Golden bowl
is broken.
Pitcher
shattered at the fountain. And the what?
The wheel
is broken at the well. So number 6 says, what do you think these objects might represent?
Your spinal cord, your mind, your pelvis, and I can't read my writing.
The heart.
Okay, yeah. I drew a heart.
Oh. The silver cord represents the spinal cord, the golden bowl. I had skull. You had head, I think, or brain. I had skull. Pitcher is the heart, and the wheel is the pelvis.
Oh.
Yeah. Any comments, questions? A lot of allegory going on here, isn't there?
Yeah.
Also recognize this is Hebrew poetry.
Yeah.
So we can't
go,
dissect it to death.
Right.
Words of poetry.
Right.
This passage.
Right. So what occurs at death is described in verse 7.
So actually, did Hebrew poetry
then
rhyme?
All poetry does not rhyme.
Yeah. Was it a rhyming or was it just a verse?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's
No, I'm just wondering what kind of poetry it was. That's all.
Well, all poetry even today doesn't rhyme.
No, I know.
Which blows my mind. I thought poetry always rhymed, but it doesn't. Yeah.
The meter.
Yeah.
I know the next answer.
Well, maybe I'm gonna skip that one.
Oh, give her a bone.
All right, Margaret. What occurs at death as described in verse 7?
Our earthly body returns to death.
All right.
Our spirit goes to God.
Very good. You'll get a star. You get a star for that.
We got the 10-point question.
Yeah, our bodies return to dust and the spirit returns to God. So.
And that's a powerful statement.
Amen. Yeah.
Because so often as human beings, we are caught up in the things that are temporal, and we focus on the things that are temporal, but as this simple statement makes clear, the things that are temporal are the things of dust.
Yeah.
They are the things that don't last.
Right.
The things that are eternal are the things that are spiritual, and those are the things of God, and those are the things that belong to God.
Right.
And so, know, it's a very simple verse, 7, and it's very short.
Mm-hmm.
But the statement here is vast. It's the idea of what is eternal, what is permanent? Well, the things of God, the things of the Spirit.
Yeah.
What is it that passes away? It's the temporal things. It's our human bodies. It's the physical. These are the things of dust, and they dust, as they say, dust to dust.
Dust to dust. Yeah. Don.
They can also be translated breath, and that refers back to Genesis 2:17, where God breathed into man the breath of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you know, starts out you know, with breath, you know, gives us life, and then you know, we die. There is no longer any breath.
In right.
Us.
Yeah.
That breath returns to God.
Right. Yep. Yes, ma'am.
So we'll look good.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't look good now, I'm dead. It's amazing the thousands do.
I think the average cost of funerals like $9,000 or $10,000, yeah, something like that.
That's the minimum to bury somebody just about.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's why cremation is so popular.
Well, we just went over and made our funeral arrangements.
Okay.
That's about $9,000.
Yeah.
$8,500 a person.
Yeah.
Now, if you buy a plot, that's $1,500
yeah,
more.
Yeah.
We'll be buried in the National Cemetery, so
right.
We save $3,000.
We paid for that.
Yeah. And we appreciate it.
We got your back, brother. This concept that Zalman mentioned here is not new. Psalms 146, do not put your trust in princes and human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. That very day, their plans come to nothing.
Yeah.
So this was something that the people that read this understood.
Yeah, they've heard it before. Yeah. They've heard it before. So, anybody else?
And just another comment, you know, about looking good. You know, my understanding, and I agree, you know, but my understanding is the purpose of a funeral is it's closure.
Yeah, for the family. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Looking good aspect.
Yeah.
My dad was a preacher, and he did a seminar on death and dying, and that was his big point about the funeral is it's for the for that closure.
Yeah.
And one of the most enjoyable aspects of it is, you know, the time before or immediately before where people come in and you get the chance to reminisce,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, renew old friendships, mm-hmm, and handle, you know, relationships, that kind of thing. So,
and then usually the church provides a meal afterwards. That's pretty good too.
So a friend of ours, she passed away a few years ago, and she arranged everything down to the songs that were sung, and I mean every little detail.
Yeah.
And when she passed away, the funeral director just showed up, and her son and daughter, who were both married and have kids of their own, and one has grandkids anyway, they were there mourning with the surviving father, and they showed up and said, okay, here's the brochures, here's the programs, here's this, and they're like, wow, everything is done. There was nothing they had to do, but it was amazing. And I went for that ceremony. It was just an amazing event.
So number 8, and we've already talked about it, what is being described, verses 2-7, basically death and the end of life. So,
old age is also being described.
Yeah, old age is leading up to it, but yeah, the final result is death and the end of life. So compare and contrast Genesis 2:7 with Ecclesiastes 12:7. So I want to flip over to Genesis 2:7 and read that for us. Genesis 2:7.
Sort of what God had reference to.
Huh?
That's sort of what John had referenced to.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
Yeah, it's exactly what Don's talking about. So, number 10, what is the recurring theme throughout this section as restated in verse 8? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Or meaningless, meaningless, all is meaningless. Depends on which versions you're using. What version you're using. So, any comments or questions about my questions? or anything that's been said. So in the first eight verses of chapter 12, Solomon uses a barrage of images to describe the aging process and the painful realities of growing old. One of the realities of aging is that the feeling of usefulness fades as energy and the ability to freely travel fades. However, both historically and biblically, this is not to be the reality. Whether the translation is meaningless, vanity, or vapor, the reality is the same. It's disappearing, and once it's gone, it didn't really matter anyway.
You really did a lot for me today. Thank you.
It is sort of depressing. And
yeah, well, but not necessarily depressing. We have to remember
it's the reality.
That his entire focus was man without God is
meaningless.
And so he's trying to portray like what Shane said, everything he had, which was more than anybody had.
Yeah.
Was not worth it without God.
Yeah.
And so, the man who had it all says...
It wasn't worth
this
it.
This is not anything without God.
Yep. Absolutely.
And it's a great reflection because I think so often in life, and I think there's a lot of forces out there that try and trick us in life to believe that, well, if I just have this thing... Mm-hmm. Then that'll give me meaning in life.
Yeah.
If I have this car, then everything will be better, or this house or whatever. And we're actually bombarded with that kind of message all the time.
Yeah.
About if you just have this, then your life will be meaningful, then you'll be happy, then everything will be great. And to me the power of the message in Ecclesiastes was, here's a man who had all of that stuff, and he says, no, there's no meaning here.
Mm-hmm.
There's no value here. You can't find that here in these things and the gold and the silver. That's not where you find it.
Yeah.
There's only one place to find it, and that's in God.
Yep.
And that's the big, to me, that's the big takeaway from Ecclesiastes.
Yeah. Under the sun, is the phrase he always used throughout. We've talked about many times. So. Okay, next week we'll finish Ecclesiastes. We'll look at 9 through 14 and finish our study there. Adam, are we telling who the guest preacher will be next week since Gary will be gone?
I don't see why we wouldn't.
Nobody might show up. It's going to be David Layman unless that has changed. Is that right, David? You still on?
Still on.
All right. David's going to be our guest speaker next week. So.
And I failed to mention something this morning when doing announcements. What I failed was our challenge to everyone to get the $16,000 raised to match what the church is giving to India to help with the classrooms. We're well on our way this morning. Almost $4,000 started to donate. Mm.
Okay, thanks, Adam. One bit of a request for next week's class, read ahead. Right, Gary? Thank you for your comments. Deborah's leaving on a 2-week trip to South Africa.
Yeah.
Be safe.
Jordan and I covered your prayers, and Luke will be gone to the Carolinas, so if you will remember all of us, we will.